podcasting before and probably after the rapture. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
So much to do here without Tim the Tool. Ladies and gentlemen, I got one thing to say to you. That's all your husband ever did in that song. So we're up at Casino Rama watching Earth, Wind & Fire, and Mark Osborne is dancing like Elaine from Seinfeld, and this is all he knows.
September!
Tell you what, you do that pretty good.
Folks, we're back live, and I think we're streaming live on our Facebook page. The video is happening, and right in front of me is Mr. Humble Howard from the Humble and Fred.
Howard? From the you sound like Howard Cosell. Right in front of me is Humble Howard.
Humble's going to give a little wave to the camera out in the hall. Everybody. Here we go.
Nice to see and, you. I don't know, and I would have worn something other than a t-shirt.
Well, you do look quite svelte. In that t-shirt.
In summary, that's what that is.
Or is it smelt?
Maybe.
Also in the corner, our very good friend, Madeline Smith Osborne. When was the last time you were on camera like this? Hey, when you were, it's a big deal and everything, and on camera.
I think when I was with you at Huntley Street.
Oh, yeah.
You're the last one who put me on camera.
Thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate that a lot.
I enjoyed that program.
You did?
Well, yeah, didn't you have a show? What was that show? Was like a where are you going?
I'm just going to turn off the fan.
Was it a barbecue show? What was it? You're turning off the fan.
Yeah.
Because every time Humble's here, he sweats.
I'm sorry. You know, if you're in Southern Ontario, you know it's like feels like the surface of the sun.
Just be thankful it's not Iraq. It's 54 there today.
Okay. Listen, I'm hip to the whole gravity.
No wonder those guys are blowing each other up, man. If you're that hot all the time, geez.
You know, I'm here to. I'm all about gratitude and gratefulness. Right, Madeline?
And you guys have never met before. I thought
no,
you guys,
just this first time.
Because you're both celebrities, so I think all celebrities know each other, right? Yeah.
Well, Madeline, if I may talk about Madeline
please,
as though she weren't here.
Please
talk. She may be, but my biggest claim to fame is this show, so I'm hardly
you are
a celebrity.
You're a sweetheart.
I'm a retro celebrity.
Yeah. I remember asking you on that television show I did, what do people know you for? And you just couldn't figure out what I was talking about. And so I was trying to say, was it Urban Cowboy? Was it The Super? Was it All of Me, where you faked stuff? Or was it...
I don't have any nails. Can't do it now.
Or was it... And then you
whoa,
said...
Whoa, you're fanning yourself.
Was it... what was that thing? If Tomorrow Comes.
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on what generation the person is, how old they are.
Yeah. Sydney Sheldon, If Tomorrow Comes. Tori, anything? Anything at all over there?
Oh, she's
nothing.
So young.
Nothing.
She wouldn't
she's got
know
nothing.
Anything.
No.
She's well, I'm online now, so I'll tell you some of my favorite moments in Madeline's career.
You're going to her IMDb?
I enjoyed her in Urban Cowboy. I was enthralled by her work in All of Me.
Yes.
In Space Odyssey,
yes.
I was... Did I use enthralled already?
Yeah, you can
okay.
use it again.
You were in Space
Please.
Odyssey?
Please.
You were in Space Odyssey?
2010.
2010.
Space Odyssey.
And some other really cool stuff. I don't know. Well, here's the thing. The I would say, and maybe you would agree or disagree, one of the greatest skills this man has
yeah.
is getting people like you
yeah.
to come in and talk to him.
Yep.
That's the biggest mystery to anybody.
Yeah. Whether you
seriously.
It is.
Turns out that Madeline,
yes.
Her daughter and my daughter have been attending the same school.
Shut up.
Yeah, I will. With pleasure.
You're kidding me.
Well, we just figured that
isn't
out.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, of course we just figured that out because we just met.
It's not really that interesting.
She's like, Madeline's like, we didn't know that before. It is weird that we just met, though.
Are you sure we just met?
Maybe we didn't. Maybe we saw it at one of the plays we had
like,
to sit through.
You know how performers are.
Yeah.
Just instantaneous, like it was yesterday.
No, I thought you were going to say self-centered and narcissistic.
Well, that may be
no,
you.
No, that's radio guys.
I'm the only one.
Narcissistic.
Radio guys. Listen, we just lost Mr. Marshall. Penny Marshall's brother. Did you ever work with
I never did.
What was his first name?
Gary.
Gary Marshall, yeah. You never worked?
Oh, I didn't. Well, I met him, yes.
You met Gary Marshall?
Yes.
Was it a
audition or something?
A soiree, maybe at somebody's place?
No. Probably an audition for something.
Right.
That I didn't get.
You didn't get it. Yeah.
I only
Sorry to bring that up.
Yeah.
No, may I ask?
Yeah. Okay. I worked with Carl Reiner, so. Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
And what did he direct all of me?
He did.
He seemed like the nicest person.
Oh, he was a sweetheart.
Do you like directors that...
I'm just going to go to the bathroom.
Just let me ask her a question. Do you like directors, and was he like this, where they just say, here's kind of what we're looking for, or would you rather them say, I'd like you to say it this way?
I think when it came to that film, I appreciated the direction, because I was with Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin.
Right.
And, I don't think I was feeling too confident about my comic chops at the time. I mean, they hired me, obviously.
Well, for sure. But now... who wrote that? Was that a Steve Martin? I get the feeling Carl Reiner was also.
I believe Phil Alden Robinson.
Wow.
Who also wrote Field of Dreams. I believe Phil, I hope this is right, wrote all of me.
I was going to ask you another fan question because I love Steve Martin. And he's the reason the first time I ever thought of doing stand-up was because of Steve Martin.
Really?
Yes.
Because of Cruel Shoes?
No, because of Let's Get Small.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It came out, I think, in 77. But he seems to me like not only a very funny guy, but a really super smart and sort of centered, grounded human being.
I only knew him to be incredibly shy like behind a windshield little bit. Just very shy.
Kind of like me and Drew. Yes. We're withdrawn.
I did not really know him. He was very sweet to me, but just so super shy. Yeah, I can't say that I knew him.
One of the funniest things I've seen recently was Jiminy Glick interviewing Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't see that, but I saw him interviewing Jerry Seinfeld. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Really funny.
Yeah. One of the funniest things out there, ladies and gentlemen. Folks, just in case you're wondering what you're listening to, it is our second last live show of the Drew Marshall Show, Season 13. And then in August, we put in 20 pre-recorded shows, as I will be writing and reading, maybe some arithmetic in there as well, and I will be walking the Camino Trail for 2 months in a silent stupor. A vow of silence, that's what they call it. Not a silent stupor. That's a different
thing. You ever see a movie called The Mexican? It's with Brad Pitt, Julia Roberts, Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
But he's driving an El Camino. And it's the way it's shot, it's kind of a campy movie. But every time they keep going to this quick close-up, and Brad Pitt goes, El Camino. And every time you say you're walking
Camino. That's what hits your head?
Every time you say it, I'm like, El Camino Trail.
We just had a Spanish guy there on the show there, just in here there, and he talked like that. What's wrong with me?
What is wrong
with
you?
It's the beard. I'm having a stroke.
You know, maybe Tim would be able to answer this question. When did you go from Drew to daughtering?
What?
I'm nice.
What do you mean? I don't get it.
Because of the beard, you become like that. Is it because we're both getting older?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is. What do you think of the beard, by the way?
Very Letterman-esque.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think
Madeline, what do you think of the beard?
Madeline, honesty. I don't care if it makes me look older. I've been trying to look older my entire life, so I'm good
with that. Right now, with your glasses on the end of your nose, you actually do look like Santa.
Thank you. Like Santa?
Yeah.
Okay, Tori, this is your last show. Smarten up.
I thought this was your last show today.
It's her last show. It's my second last show. All right, let's get into the reason these folks are here, these kind folks are here. We call it the pub crawl, and that's where myself and a few of my friends crack open a few topics. And today's topics are Pokemon Go, millennials, and a new game we're calling Which Religion Says That? Islam, Christianity, or Satanism? Yep, that's what's happening in the next little while.
Freaking love all that.
So Pokemon Go. I have a hard time with this. As a matter of fact, I post our video of the week. If you go to drewmarshall.ca and click on DrewTube, the top video there is it'll show you what I'd like to do to these kids that are walking around with their backpacks and their phones. It's this rogue monkey in Thailand, and he sneaks up behind some unsuspecting dude and drop kicks him. Is this an old person commentary that I'm now delivering about this, the kids these days? Is that what's going on, Madeline?
Yeah, I think so.
But they're outside. At least they're getting outside.
Yeah.
They're burning because they're all white and sensitive.
Well, the first time I heard about it, even my own daughter was talking about one of her good friends.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, Mom, she went on a 7-kilometer walk.
No.
And that was very impressive at
Maybe
the time
I could do that
until
on
I started
Camino.
Hearing about all the accidents and tragedies.
Yeah, you could combine the Camino Trail with Pokemon Go.
I think that's a great... Wait, what do you mean accidents and tragedies? You heard about accidents and tragedies?
Oh,
well, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, I mean, not just Pokemon Go. There's accidents and tragedies all the time. I know the world is a rosy-colored joy division.
I was telling my kids, I saw a sad piece in the paper last week about a woman who discovered that the Pokemon destination, the little face or whatever it is, was on her son's grave. That's pretty sad. That's pretty devastating, yeah. That was
my
star.
Thoughts.
That was in the star.
If I may, my thoughts about this are, and to your point about it, I mean, your essay. Do you sound like do we sound like old people that are out of touch?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
We're not. It's not for us. But the thing that interested me is a few weeks ago, the few days before we all heard about Pokemon Go. All I know is somebody in the world of finance knew this was coming. And wouldn't it have been a great thing to invest in whatever that company is, Nintendo, because they made $7 billion. Their stock went up to $7 billion in 48 hours. And what fascinates me is the idea that a bunch of people months ago said, on this day, we're going to start releasing these games around the world.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when it got released, I mean, in the States, it still hadn't been released in Canada yet. So even then, there must have been guys or men and women that went, I wonder if this will be a thing to invest in.
Did you?
Obviously, I didn't.
No.
Because you're still here. My point is, I find that part of it also fascinating, the idea that it's rolled out. I mean, as far as participating, it's never going to be for you and me and Madeline, but it's fine. I'm okay with it.
Okay, so
I'm not outraged by the fact that people are out doing something.
No.
Does that make sense?
I find it the fact that it's a sociological phenomenon is interesting, so we look at it, we critique it, we try to figure out what's going on, and there's interesting components to this. But I just find great humor in watching a dude, his phone in front of you, watch his footage, his little face up in the top corner, as he walks into a freaking river, into the water while doing this. Or the guy who was tasered by the cops because he wouldn't put his phone down.
Sure.
I love this.
Yeah, but I mean, then we could. I mean, it would have been hilarious to our parents to watch you do the hustle in 1977.
But at least we were in a contained room. We were only bumping into other hustlers.
Yes, we were.
Well, the hustlers.
I'm sorry, Madeline. In your case, the hula hoop. Yeah.
Hey, I couldn't do that at all. I don't get it. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the Pokemon Go brings back memories. And Madeline, you'll maybe relate to this. Humble, I would appreciate your external commentary on this because you will have no idea of that which we were about to speak. You remember when it was from Satan? Pokemon? Do you remember that?
I don't. I remember when Harry Potter was from Satan. I don't remember
Pokemon's from Satan, too. Oh, they have evil characters and they're demons and evil spirits and stuff. Hey.
One last thing, though. I have this.
Really, you got nothing on that?
I will in a second. I have an idea for a version of this for adults. It's Pokemon Go F Yourself.
Yes.
That's you basically send people you don't like to a spot.
Yes. What? Yeah, to the dump or yeah. Wonder if there's a way of combining Christian Mingle and Pokemon. Mm. Hey, you
don't see the Pokemon before marriage.
Exactly. Yeah. Poke me on. Yeah.
No poking a mon or a woman outside of matrimony.
Oh, my goodness.
Fanning ourselves again.
That's because, Madeline, you'll agree, it's a schwitzatorium in here. This place is like a schwitz box. He always says that. Humble always complains about the heat. No, that's because it's hot.
The first time he came, he had a cardigan on.
I didn't know. I just assumed in the wintertime you wouldn't be. Anyway.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, hey, you want to do my radio show? It's in a sauna.
Yeah. I didn't mention the cedar. So, okay, as far as millennials go, and Tori's had to put up with my nonsense for a little while. Tori, the intern, her last show today, she's 21. She's in that pocket, we like to call millennials. And to be honest, I've had it up to here with them. I was at a Canadian Tire store the other day, checking out, and the chick who was checking me out... That didn't sound right. I had a question for her, so I started to ask my question. In the middle of my question, she turned and started talking to her friend who just walked in the store. And then I said, excuse me, and she went, just a minute. Put her finger up in my face and said, just a minute. Ah! So I left. I left all my product on the counter, on the conveyor belt, just walked out. Because if I had stayed, I would be in prison right now. I just don't have the patience for it. So, again, is this old person commentary? The kids
I'm Drew
days.
Marshall, and I'll tell you a thing or two. You kids, with your Pokemon Goes and your fancy doodle phones and your Zip cars and your medical marijuana.
What? Zip?
No, you don't sound like an old Zip car. It's a thing. Okay. Look it up.
I've had this experience in a store where I've noticed, for instance, employees...
Yeah.
complaining about their boss in front of me. Complaining about their job in front of me, just talking about personal things and being really cynical and really grumpy, and then, oh, and that'll be $10. And then you're just standing there. I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe this, tearing down the store and talking about their schedules. And
I always find it fascinating when employees, as you said, discuss whatever with other employees while there's a customer there. But also when you're in a service situation and you can't seem to get anyone to take your money. And it happens more, I think, I lived in Los Angeles for a few years. And I used to say this about Canadian service is, In Canada, you don't start getting good service in a restaurant until you're spending around $100. In the States, you get good service in Denny's. You know, that sort of the idea that waiting on somebody is actually
But
it's like a noble thing
American.
To do. Yeah. It's not that it's a noble thing to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like an okay thing to do. Whereas in Canada, you don't get that sort of level of attention until you're spending a little bit of money. I think that bleeds into the retail experience as well.
Okay, but aside from the retail thing, Tori, I should have given you a microphone on this, but I actually don't care.
Well, I don't think it's a millennial thing. I think it's just a general service industry thing.
Okay, no, but I'm talking about the phrase entitlement. Is that the most overused phrase when it comes to millennials, or is it warranted?
No, the most overused phrase is, get a job! Get out of the house already.
That's why they're jerks. So they don't want to be out of the house, you know?
Well, they've been taught through media and entertainment and everything since they were young that they are entitled to everything. You should have this, you should have that. And the standard to which they are chasing, it's so high and full of stuff. Yeah, they think I've been told my whole life, if I don't have this,
or I can be a star.
I can't matter. Or you can be anything you want to be.
All these kids think that they're going to have their own TV shows. And
yeah, so in their defense.
I read a study recently, like, you know, when I was, 17 or 18, you were expected to sort of either go to university or leave the house, get a job. And you were supposed to sort of have your life on its way to being figured out, which is probably not great. But now I read that most of these kids aren't really expected to sort of have a sense of what to do till they're later in their 20s or even 30s.
And you know what? I hear that from people my own age.
So you concur.
People my own age, and they're being very kind and loving and generous. How often I've heard them say, oh, they're so young not to know what they want to do. And I think, we left home at 18 in the United States. Like, that's a thing.
You got out of the house.
And you better know what you're doing. My
parents stopped telling me where they lived when I was 17 years old. They said, no. I said, what about this? They said, no, we're not living there.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So when I hear that, I go, it really is a far reach from
No, I think it was a little unrealistic to expect people at 18, 19, 20. I've always thought it's a little young to kind of choose
We were expected to know
your,
in high school. Like,
but you were expected
in the middle
to do
of high
something.
School, we were expected to know, to plan.
What do you think of this?
What were we supposed to do?
What do you think?
Child?
But the world was not our oyster. That's
Hermione?
It was not our oyster.
You and your Harry Potter friends and your...
is there such a thing as
Hufflepuff?
As these kids getting married too young.
Oh, that's over to you, Christians.
Why, you guys? Oh, yeah, because you don't believe in marriage.
Who? Okay?
You.
Me personally or the Jews?
No, and by the way, speaking of the Jews.
It's ridiculous.
No, speaking of the Jews, I was just thinking about how the fact that I was reading some old texts from the Quran yesterday in preparation for what we're about to do next, and I was thinking, wow, this sounds very similar to Old Testament-y stuff.
Also
and
sounds so no very wonder, similar to the New Testament.
No, yeah. It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Oh, really?
No, very different.
No virgin birth?
We're going to, no, stop it. So, no, what I'm saying is, maybe that's why the Jews have a whole new hip liberal generation of, are we going to get hip liberal Muslims more and more these days? Because the more and more you read the Old Testament or the Old Quran, you're going to go, this is culturally irrelevant. Do you not think?
Yeah, I think.
I can't wait for hip liberal Muslims to take over. I think it'll
maybe
be a
after
r-
you get
off
the, after the El Camino Trail.
Say it again.
El Camino.
I had no idea your legs were that beautiful.
Yeah, thanks.
No, really. Some people don't have nice legs, especially older gentlemen.
Well, I do a lot of walking. What are your legs like?
Skinny.
Yeah, because you're one of those guys, you don't spend any time on your legs. You just pump up your dinky biceps so you can walk around going, yeah, you see that? See those guns? Hang on a second. Let me get that grilled cheese off my stomach.
Listen to me now. Hear me later. in the studio with Madeline Smith Osborne. Did you go by Madeline Smith Osborne? When was the last time you went by Madeline Smith?
Before I got married.
Right.
Which would be exactly 28 years ago.
Today is your anniversary?
Last week.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You've been married for 28 years.
Yes.
Good for you. What is that all about? Is that like a, journey
husband.
Through?
He's a saint.
Is he a saint?
Yeah, he is. St. Mark.
Well, wait a second. You seem very nice.
I can be nice.
Don't you look
I want to be nice. I've always wanted to be nice.
Give me that nonsense.
I've always wanted to be nice.
What has been happening on the Humble and Fred show that the world needs to know about lately?
We've had a good couple months. We've had some interesting guests. So we've actually started featuring a lot more sort of new artists. There's one of our associates is a company called FYI Music News, and they're like a Canadian company that promotes a lot of singer-songwriters, so it's been kind of cool. I actually got to know some country stuff. There was also, wasn't there somebody that you recommended?
Sean Pynchon.
Amazing.
Sean Pynchon, the blues guitar guy?
Yeah. Dude, one of our favorites. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
Drew's pretty connected. By the way, the only reason I have I'm trying to turn myself this
to the
way,
camera. No, he's aware of the camera.
No, because I feel like
you are totally turned out to the camera.
Because there's some kind of coolness coming here. We Hebrews, we sweat like.
Dude, the coolness is coming from this direction, baby.
Please. Nothing good has been happening on Humble and Fred show, except we're moving our brand new studios. When you come back from wherever you're going, we'll have a brand new studio October 15th.
And then we get to go upstairs and cuddle.
Perhaps.
Right.
And if you go to Humble and Fred Radio on Facebook, you can help us crowdfund the crapper. We're having our audience help us build the washroom downstairs.
Beautiful.
And we'll put your name on the wall.
$100 a sheet?
I don't know.
For, you know, no, they get a prize or something if they donate.
Sure.
I read it on the Facebook page. It says, if you give $100, we'll give you something. You'll be in a draw for something.
Can I ask you a question? Why are we yelling in front of Madeline?
We shouldn't do that.
Just take it down.
I'm nodding off.
No, I know.
Sorry about that.
Just take it down a bit, would you please? Because
usually
your behavior doesn't bother me, but I feel in front of other people, it's like,
that's why I brought Madeline in. Yeah. You
I'm like, don't worry about him.
Do you remember the last time I was there? You were bugged with me. Do you remember that? Because I was co-host. I was Fred for the day.
I wasn't bugged by you.
Dude, you had a little... What are you doing? Why do you... Remember, because I actually researched your guest, and you didn't want me... I didn't know you didn't want me to do research. I took my job seriously.
First of all, I barely remember what you're talking about. Secondly, there's not a time we've spent together that I haven't enjoyed your immenseness.
But do you remember my research?
Not really. I don't even remember the guest we had on.
What is wrong with you?
I do a show every day, not once in a while, like you. Season 13, where we did 12 shows. I did 12 shows last week. Like, seriously, we've done thousands of them. You want me to? You expect me to remember you?
Yes,
which
I do.
I barely do.
I do
on a show, and who was the guest?
By the way, you still have my bobblehead queen.
I don't know what you're talking.
You have my bobblehead queen. It's solar powered.
Can we just get back?
The hand goes like this. Hey,
Madeline, I've really been trying.
Oh, that queen.
Yes. Not Freddie Mercury.
Madeline, I'm trying to learn to breathe through his rage and his anger.
Let's get rid of that.
It's ridiculous. Why are we here?
We're here.
I'm very happy to have met you, though. You seem just lovely.
We are here because it's time to play.
Very nice.
Which religion says that? Islam, Christianity, or Satanism? Here we go. I almost forgot to hand the buzzers in. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. All right. That's your buzzer, and that's your buzzer. All right. So
they both make the same sound.
Please put the buzzer on the table.
I can't hear it.
Please put.
Oh, now I can.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you must pick up the squeezy buzzer and squeeze it when you know the answer, okay?
Okay, fantastic.
All right, here we go. Which religion said this? Do not make sexual advances unless you are given the mating signal. Islam, yes, Howard.
Islam.
No.
Which is Satan.
Yeah, yes, Satanism. Well done.
This is the most fun.
All right. Which?
So say it, Madeline. Don't hold back, woman.
If you were really, if you practiced your Judaism, you would know that.
Yes, you would know that. Okay, but Judaism isn't part of this. So here we go.
No, exactly.
Which
religion? It's not one of the options in case.
No,
you
it's not. Which religion said this? He who's without sin among you, let him be the first to throw the first stone.
Christianity.
Howard. Yes, Christianity. 1-1.
Very good.
Which religion said this? The woman and the man guilty of adultery or fornication, flog each of them with 100 stripes. Let not compassion move you in their case. Yes.
Islam.
Yes. Flogging.
I was going to say that.
Yeah? Now it's 2-1. All right, here we go. Which religion said this? Do not take that which does not belong to you.
Judaism.
No! They're not part of the...
Sorry. I just want to make Madeline laugh. That's the only reason I'm here now.
Do not take that which does not belong to you unless it is a burden to the other person and he cries out to be relieved.
Christianity.
No.
Satanism.
Yes, Satanism.
You really?
She knows
no,
Satanism.
No. She knows more about Satanism than a person should.
That, you know what, that's probably true.
All right. Who said this? If a guest in your lair annoys you, treat him cruelly and without mercy. Yes, Howard.
Satanism.
Yes! But
no, you know what it was? It was lair.
Lair.
I'm glad
lair.
I didn't answer that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Which religion said this? Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself.
Christianity.
No.
Yes.
Muslims.
No.
Oh,
stop it.
Is that really Christianity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you know that, or did you just feel it?
But it's really esteem others higher than yourself.
Oh.
It's a little more memorable.
In her version. Emphasis on version.
You guys
okay.
don't think that's weird? There's more than one version?
Not at all.
Here we
don't?
Go.
We have a lot of newspapers. They report on the same thing that really happened.
Excuse me. Okay. Can we get back to the contest, please? Folks, you're listening to the Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're on joyradio.ca and across the GTA on AM 1250.
I'm being beaten.
Here we go.
Is that in your Bible?
Which religion said this? Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're
Christianity.
Yes, Madeline, Christianity.
Wow.
Oh, my buzzer
her
burst.
Buzzer is.
My whoopee cushion.
She just
hitting it.
Wow.
Put a new
passion,
hole in her fart machine.
That I answer
There's
with.
A hole in my fart ear, dear Liza.
All right. Who said this?
I need to keep this close because I don't know anything.
Acknowledge the power of magic if you have employed it.
Yes. Satanism. I'm really.
Oh, you just blew my earmuffs off.
If this was just Satanism, I'd be doing much better.
Did you just pull a muscle doing that? You just held onto your arm. You okay?
No.
Okay.
I'm in a lot of pain. Physical, spiritual.
All right. Which religion said this? Remember, this is Islam, Christianity, or Satanism? Do not harm little children.
Islam.
No.
You don't know.
Satanism.
Yeah. Can you make it? There
no.
we go.
Okay. That should not work. No. That should not be a point because she did not make her fart machine work.
Right. Right. Good thing we have an extra one here. That was actually Satanism. Do not harm little children.
Yeah.
All right.
You'd think you wouldn't have to be told that by a religion.
True. Good point. Think
Which is that, why they say it.
You'd
yeah.
think that most people would have that as a given.
Yeah. It is a given, I think. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Next one. Which religion said this? If a man kills a believer intentionally, his recompense
Islam.
Is... Yes.
Thank you.
Wow. I didn't even...
I just got it. Just these things come to me.
Wow. His recompense is hell, to abide therein forever. And the wrath and the curse of Allah are upon him, and a dreadful penalty is prepared for him. If you kill a
How's
believer...
What's the score, by the way? Because I know I'm being killed here.
The score is 6-6.
No, it's
All
not.
We need is one more.
Oh,
get it?
It's not even close.
Okay, all right. All right.
Madeline knows her stuff, people.
Now, please wait till I finish this.
But not my recompenses.
Okay. Which religion said this? Love your enemies.
Christianity.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought we were supposed to wait till... I thought there was more.
That was it!
Hold on. Again, Madeline.
She...
not good with the fart sounds. And I believe points should be taken away.
The rest of that is pray for those who persecute you. If you love only
but
those
you
who love you,
right
what reward is there for that? Howard, if you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else?
Again, religion. Why don't you just, like, maybe know this stuff? Like, be nice to people. Don't... flog
okay, all right.
anymore.
No more flogging.
Let's all right. put the flogging material away.
Which religion said this?
Yes.
When walking in open territory, bother no one. If someone
Islam.
No.
Christianity.
No.
Satanism. I figured this game out. You toured.
If someone bothers you, ask him to stop. If he does not stop, destroy him.
Satan.
Thank you.
Satan.
Did you wreck that fart machine, too?
No, my fart machine is perfectly lovely.
All
thank
right.
you.
All right, the last one, folks.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I gotta get
the last one. This is for all the potatoes.
I like potatoes.
Oh, gee whiz. Do not kill non-human animals unless you are attacked for...
Satanism!
Yes!
That's what we're talking about, people. Totally unrehearsed.
Do not kill non-human animals.
Man, don't kill any animals, people.
Have you ever killed an animal, Howard?
No.
Really?
Not
you've
with
never
your car, not a squirrel?
You've never killed a fish, a frog?
I've killed a squirrel,
died under my care.
Well, that's close.
But I didn't kill it.
I'm pretty sure I hit a squirrel.
You've hit a squirrel? Driving. Oh, yeah. What about driving?
They don't always
not,
make
but
it.
But I would say
you
this.
Think
not,
they're going to always make it, but
not
they don't
that I know
make
of.
It.
Not knowingly did I. But I remember that conversation with our, like, 3-year-old at the time, that the fish was sleeping. And it was not going to wake
sleeping
up.
Sleeping and just a little bit yeah. smelly.
Daddy, what's wrong? It's Goldie or whatever. His fish is sleeping. He's going to go to sleep.
What was the pet that you had when you were growing up? Yeah, your first childhood pet?
the horribly named Cocker Spaniel Blackie.
Right.
True story. No, it was, yeah, not good. It was a Cocker Spaniel. What was yours?
Collies. We always had collies.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Every kind of collie. Sable collie, blue merle, tricolor. Yeah.
Nice. Did you yeah. hear my dog had a seizure last Friday?
No, that's horrible. What? Yeah. Wait, but they do have seizures.
This is only his second time he ever had it. I don't. We don't.
Is
have
it bad? No, we do. We need
do
to
we
talk
have time?
About it. Yes.
So I get off the plane, 6-hour transatlantic plane, transatlantic flight, and pick my dog up, drop my daughter off at her mom's. Driving home, my dog started to have a seizure. He's never had one like this big before, and he's seizuring all over the car. I pull over in a church parking lot. FYI.
Oh wow.
Religion.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I thought, oh, this is good. There's some grass. And he's literally thrashing around the car. I open the door, figuring, you know, the grass will be soft. He sees me because he's having a seizure, stops seizuring, and then runs away. Can't find him for 2 hours.
What?
But first, he gets hit by a car. I like, I'm running after him. He goes down an embankment. It's like a busy street, Islington in the city. Gets hit by a guy. Goes, you looking for your dog? I go, yeah. He goes, he's been hit by a car. Then I can't find him for 2 hours.
Wow.
Anyway, finally found him. I guess the car just grazed him because he was bleeding a little bit, but not broken. And all of this happened like at 1 o'clock in the morning when it was 4 a.m., 5 a.m., my body's time. But it was funny because he's never had any trouble. His name is Stan. He's a Boston Terrier. So I've never had any trouble with the dog. But in one night, had a seizure, got hit by a car, and was lost.
Church of Satan.
Church of Satan. That is funny. God. Good gracious me. That was funny.
Nice.
Church of Satan, people.
Nice.
Can you imagine that, though? I was freaking out.
Aww.
Like, the poor guy, he's got, like, had the collar on his head.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's not good.
Yeah.
All right, do you mind if we have a little moment here?
Don't we have to go to a
Madeline,
break?
No, I want to know. Knowing Howard comes from a Hebrew background,
Hebrew.
Do you think... there's any point getting deep with him about spiritual stuff? Because I think these people sometimes are jaded in their understanding.
What people? People from Moose Jaw?
That's our bit. That's our thing.
It's our we do bits.
No, you're actually one of the most inquisitive spiritual human beings I know.
I don't think Madeline believes you.
No.
But I am.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I could believe that.
Seriously.
I'm going to put down the... Well, you did break your fart, Meg.
I did.
Did you have...
I thought I was making that up.
Did you meet a lot of... did you go hang out with a lot of Jewish folks in the L.A. scene?
Oh, no, there's no Jews in Hollywood. That's a myth.
Stop it.
What do you know?
Hey, did you? Did you hang out with a lot of them?
Hang out?
Did you ever go to a synagogue?
Went to a synagogue in New York.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought about it, because, yes, there are a lot of... Jewish people in Hollywood.
Right.
So, yeah, they'd be my friends. They'd be my directors. Yeah.
Run the studios
yeah.
and the world monetary.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes you notice and sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot.
Okay. No,
yeah.
I was just wondering. Because I you know, back in the early days of our evangelical Jesus scene, we were exclusionary, I think, more so than maybe now. Would you agree with that? Or no? Why are you staring at me?
Well, because you said when I was a part of the Jesus scene?
Yeah, when we were all... Well, you're still an evangelical Christian. I'm not. And,
what does
and
that mean, by the way?
That means...
a regular Christian.
Right.
No, I don't mean
it's,
that.
It's Christian light.
What does an evangelical mean?
It comes with a certain set of... what would you say? How would you explain
it? Well, I was asking Madeline.
I would say at the present moment, evangelical means right-wing... political person of a Christian persuasion, but
right.
that is not what the word means. Evangel means good news.
Yeah, to spread.
Spreading the good news.
Sell it.
Well, why has it gotten... Why
so
did it have that, why
well,
we
hold
have
on
that
second.
Reputation?
So literally it means that you believe you have a mandate from God, from Jesus, to spread his good news. That's really what it really means,
right.
Unfortunately.
Well, why does it happen to be this right-wing thing? Why can't it just be that?
Because Americans have hijacked evangelicalism.
Because... that's what happens to purity, right? If you don't sacrifice for purity and keep it going, you will eventually become like yeah. the world around you. And so that's what's happened. It's
how do
yeah,
you,
it's very sad
I have
and
a
squeamish.
Question. Can I ask Madeline a question?
Yes, please do.
React to this statement. Scott Baio, Chachi, comes on TV last Monday and says, blah, 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 great to be in America, the greatest country that God ever created.
Wow.
The greatest country that God ever created. He actually said that to a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Now, as an evangelical Christian.
Well, he's wrong because it's really Israel.
Oh, snap.
I wasn't snapped.
No,
I'm kind of kidding, but
no,
biblically.
But and the idea that a human being would look to other human beings and say, God only favors this country, not Canada, not Mexico, not Nepal, not anywhere. How could you even say that? It seems like this. It seems like if a Scientologist said something that outrageous, we'd all go, wow, that's crazy. But he actually said that.
Yeah. There's a reason Joni and Chachi didn't make it.
But I'm just curious, from a religious standpoint, not even a religious, from a human being standpoint, what do you hear when you hear that?
Yeah, I would hear some arrogance, yeah. Yeah, like this is a...
Theological ignorance.
As well,
okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't get upset about it, but I would hear the same thing, like God created the world, God loves the world, he loves all that he has
but
made.
But there's some evangelical...
And Jews are the chosen people.
Yeah, I know that.
He knows that. He knows
but
that.
But it just seems like he said that, so there might be some evangelical Christians who would hear that and go, yeah.
Well, then, yeah.
God likes our... What I love is when football teams go, oh, yeah, the Lord was really on our side. Do you actually think he's up there going, hang on a second, let me stop fixing some things and look at this football game?
Exactly, yeah, no. Right. He loves football players.
Do you...
More than other football players, too. Some football players he likes more than others, according to football players.
Tebow, yeah. Are you able to see past religion to see into the truth behind those religions? You know what I mean? No, seriously. Have you finally come to a point now? Because you were blinded by, and as many people are, blinded by religion. And, okay, it's all bogus. I don't want anything to do with it. Blah, 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 blah. But there's some good stuff
to be fair, and don't give Madeline the wrong idea, the reason I've been fascinated by religion my whole life, that's why you and I are friends, is because I'm not practicing anything. Doesn't mean that I haven't read some Bible and some, you know, Torah, and I can quote some Torah and some Bible. In fact, I came to an assessment and an evaluation of religion because I'm interested in it. I've been fascinated by it. One of my best friends' father was a Lutheran minister, and you know, a very good friend of mine, Moose Jaw, he was an Anglican minister. So I've been fascinated by it. But to answer your question, I think I know what you're asking. Yeah, I can see people that are religious as well-meaning.
No, I don't care about the people who are religious. I mean the stuff in the religions. Can you see truth in religion even though religion is bogus?
Yeah, of course I can.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
That's hard. That's a difficult thing to be able to do.
No, but I've always... But if you ask Tim, Tim and I started talking about religion. That's how he said, you should come on Drew's show.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never had a problem with religion. I've had a problem with people that use religion to hurt other people or to... make it as a cookbook for their lives. I've had a problem with people that take things too literally, whether it's religion or anything else. Like I have a problem with people that think the Kardashians are cool.
Don't get me started.
You know what I'm saying? Like so I don't mind comparing the Kardashians to the Quran, but
Church of Satan.
Oh man!
But you know, I think, is that a decent enough answer?
Yeah, no, because I actually give a holy rip about you.
I give a nice holy rip about you.
And here.
Here's my.
It's really you can't
mine's
even get
broken.
You broke your fart machine too.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
You guys are destroying those things. So I'm concerned about a lot of people when they just write off religion, and it's so easy to do because I've done it. I mean, my website is tohellwithreligion.com. Go there, you'll find me. So I see the block. I do. And when Jesus, one of the reasons Jesus was killed was because he said to hell with religion, and then they killed him, and then they started a religion based on Jesus.
I don't like people that say, "Oh, religion is stupid," and have no idea about any part of it. They just dismiss it out of hand without knowing that there are aspects of all religions that are wonderful and a guide for people. And I've never had a problem with faith.
Right.
I've always thought people of faith were...
You're a dating guy.
Oh, yeah.
Has that come up? Has religion come up in the dating?
No. Not really. I've had one time I had a young lady that... At the very first meeting, said in the first couple of minutes, "I don't drink wine, and I love Jesus." And I thought, well, we're not going to be making out in the parking lot after.
well, you shouldn't have signed up for Christian Mingle. That's your fault.
No, I think that I'm not like some people. I have, you know, like a lot of people I know, this go, religion is stupid, and I'll say, but what about this aspect of?
When was the last religious dude you had on your show, or person, female, anybody?
You.
Me. What about Mubeen Sheikh?
That was a great guest. You set that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
He told us a lot about the Ta-la-la-la-la band.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
What about you? Do you seem to see? I think you're an interesting character. I don't know what Madeline would think about this, but you know, you're okay, man. You have a problem with some other religions. I know you do.
Uh-huh.
But you sort of have this facade of not having a problem with other religions, because you do. I mean, I know that obviously let me ask you a question. If you were to rank Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, you definitely believe Christianity, and even you and your non-believing journey. You still believe that's that you probably go, well, that's probably the better way.
To be honest.
Like the TTC.
Jesus, the better way.
But you believe Christianity is the better way, because you always kind of sideways poo-poo the ta-la-la-la-la band and the Jews this and kosher that.
Oh,
and
stop it.
It's true, though.
Stop
it. I'm not saying anything that's not authentic.
The thing that stood out for me was this. The love your enemy thing is really a standout thing for me, because as I was doing...
And which one's that?
That's the Jesus thing.
That's the Jesus.
Yeah. Because as I was looking into Judaism, you know, I was looking for all these quotes for our little game show thing that we just did there. And I actually stopped and stared at the computer for about 10, 15 minutes last night, just thinking about... Well, that is a standout thing. And I did some research on the other religions and where they land on this. Pray for those who persecute you. Not taught in a lot of religions. In any religion, as far as I can figure out. If you only love those who love you, what reward is there for that? If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Love your enemies is the number one thing that makes my head spin when it comes to
Jesus.
Do you
like that better than the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
You do it.
Yeah.
So you think that's a better... Not a better. You think that you find nothing in the you don't find anything in the Ten Commandments that resonates with you as far as because don't you guys do some of the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Well, that's our.
We're supposed to go above and beyond.
Wait a second. We patented that. That's our thing.
Copyright infringement.
That's some Old Testament.
Why do you think that mandate is in the Bible? Love your enemies.
Well, aside from the fact it's a real head spin and one of the hardest things for human beings to do.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of common sense.
No.
Right?
No.
So
and I think it forces us to look higher, to look beyond just our interactions. And if love is love, I think it's the precursor to understanding unconditional love. How's that?
Why do you think it's in the
Bible? I think it's in there because God loves his enemies. And he said, be holy.
Oh, your answer was
be
better.
Be holy like I am holy. And he loves his enemies. He's not going to strive with them forever. But at the moment he loves his enemies, he wants them to turn. At the moment that we are living.
Hmm.
He loves his enemies. He wants them to turn to him. Therefore, we need to love our enemies so that they will turn and hear what we have to say or hear what we have
and
to
I
share.
And I want to ask this, not in a flip manner, but when you say at the moment, are you expecting, and this is going to sound flip, but
no, I get it.
Are you expecting any updates?
No.
Yeah.
Am I expecting any updates?
Yeah.
Like, is there...
Testament.
No. Are there going to be some, because I may say this legitimately, are there any further instructions, or is everything that you need to know in that Bible?
Everything.
Well, because there hasn't seemed to be any new messages since that thing was written a few thousand years ago.
I think everything you need to know, let's get philosophical as far as I'm concerned, is in there. Details about things and happenings?
Well, no, you said at some point he's not going to love his enemies.
Well, I do believe that at some point God is going to...
You believe God is a judge, a righteous judge, and he will separate the wheat from the chaff. The sheep from the goats, to quote Keith Green.
Yeah, I'm not as super clear as I used to be, but yeah, I do believe.
Why
that
is
God
that? Just because it
is,
sounds harsh? Because we're supposed to not,
it is.
It's not cool to be harsh these days.
I'm just, you know what? As I get older, I'm less and less certain about a lot of things.
Yeah.
But yes, I do believe God is a righteous judge, and it makes me tremble. But we love justice, right? We want justice from each other. We want justice from our country, from our government, and everything else. And
So
and why do we want that?
In the context of what's going on in the world and the shootings and the guy with the van and niece and the whole thing and all this stuff going on, my mind has been spinning around. If we all, now please just bear with me on this. If we all were packing heat, those things would have got, they wouldn't have gone on as far. So Buddy McDonald's, somebody could have shot him quicker. Buddy in the van, somebody could have shot him quicker, et cetera, et cetera. And the nightclub, the whole thing, right? Now, that also leads into a whole discussion of, wow, okay, so that also means there'll be way more people with bad people with guns. So I get where that illustration falls apart then, or whatever. But my thinking in all this is, but then Jesus comes along and says, love your enemies. And if your enemy wants this, give him more kind of stuff. And you got Brooksy Cavey who says, yeah, I'm not going to fight back. If he wants to shoot me, let him shoot me. And I think, dude, I cannot just watch some maniac in a van drive by. If I was anywhere near that van, I would have tried to kill that man.
Do you think Jesus was saying, don't defend yourself from death? I'm not sure that's what he was saying.
What about helping other people from dying? Like, would Jesus have jumped the van and snapped Buddy's neck?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I would love to have done that. Is that bad? Why are you giving me a weird look?
I don't know. I just have nothing to add that won't infuriate both of you.
So. Really? No, do it. Say it. Say
do
it. Say it.
Do
I bet
it.
You won't. I bet you won't.
The reason I think that a lot of things that are, you know, listen, I can't take anything away from your discussion. I think it's an interesting one. But, you know, the Bible, the Torah, let's go back 6,000 years for that little pamphlet. A lot of things have changed. You know, and I don't know. I think trying to fit a 300 AD manual, you know, the Bible wasn't written the day after Jesus was born, as you know, it was some 300 years later before the first version, not to mention the Crimea and all this other stuff and the different versions. But I think a lot of things have changed since then. So why hasn't there been an update? Like, there are, like, the things that you two just discussed, people driving vans and guns and things in the air. Well, that was never anticipated in a time
right.
of Jesus, where the entire Bible, Torah, and Quran were written about a area of the earth the size of Burlington.
Because the main distillation of the thing we're supposed to know is Jesus said...
But he said it. Well, why is the Bible only about one tiny area on earth? Because
no, it's not. You can take the principles and across the board. And the best person who did that was somebody who wasn't a Christian. Gandhi laid down his life in front of other people, when he refused to fight back, when he had all the right to fight back, that only then did that wake the world up in so many, and still does to this day. Gandhi's one of the most quoted dudes ever.
And the reason he is
because he took the love your enemy thing right to the end.
But if I may just say, and I'll just shut up after this. The things that Gandhi was talking about, also in the 50 or 70 years since he's passed on, the India is a more complicated place. If you use just India and Gandhi as the example, use saying Jesus and the Bible, then the world's a different place even 70 years ago. And I'm just saying 1,700 years have passed.
But love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your enemy as yourself is the underpinning
but that's what
of
an enemy
every
could,
but, single instruction.
But that's what an enemy could only come at you with sticks and rocks. So now you have an enemy that can shoot a rocket from one side of the planet to another. That wasn't anticipated in Jesus' time.
Oh, I agree. And I don't think we do get very clear instruction on how to make war.
Why has there been no new instruction in 1,700 years? Because the world's changed. So love thy neighbor, love thy enemies. Might have been a great idea if the enemy was a guy that could come over and steal your goat, and then you gave him another goat to make the world a better. But when the enemy can drive a van into a crowd of people.
Or blow up an entire country.
Without, I think that's, and the world's, the complications of the world are different than we're. And one last thing. When my brother-in-law, who's pretty observant, I don't know if he's that religious, but you know, he doesn't eat, he keeps kosher, won't eat pork, doesn't eat crustaceans. And I remember saying to him, do you not know that, you know, we have lights on now, you have an indoor pool? Well, that wasn't anticipated 6,000 years ago. I said, why do you keep kosher? Because now we have pasteurization and we have proper refrigeration. And he said, which I thought was a great answer, because tradition and faith, and for no other reason. And I think tradition and faith is probably the nicest thing about religion.
Yeah, except tradition and faith is also the part of the ingredients for Islamic fundamentalism or Islamic extremism.
Listen, if you want to get literal, look at some of the passages in the Torah and the Bible about stoning this lady and my daughter.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
You know,
yep.
So I know how it's, and Jews do it, and so do Christians. You pick and choose the parts you like, and you ignore some of the 300 AD stuff in there.
Yeah.
That doesn't, well, that's what I'm saying. A lot of stuff doesn't apply anymore. I don't know if that answer means anything.
It all has to do with the mystery of the Christian claim, of Jesus' claim that he is the fulfillment of all that tutoring about evil, so all of that experiencing of desperation and evil so that you would be drawn to long for this salvation.
But I guess what I'm asking is, why did it all happen and then stop? Why did all that God stuff, the burning bush, the all that stuff, why did all that happen?
Because of what I just said, because of what we believe, but Jesus said, "I am."
But I struggle with the same
fulfillment.
No, but I am. But we had a lot of stuff going on, a lot of communication. We had Bible being written. We had apostles. We had all that stories, and then nothing.
You know, it's hard to take you seriously when you have a fart machine in your hand.
I apologize.
Well, maybe.
I mean, it's hard to take me seriously anyway. Honestly, I don't even know.
In the Christian view, Jesus said to his apostles, go spread the good news. Right. And now it's up to, apparently, he gave us everything that we need to know, philosophically, spiritually, an example and everything. Right. And now we have the freedom to go live that out. And if we live that out totally depending on him, which is the ideal, we are going to make good in the world. And if we don't live that out along with him, but in our own understanding, or we can corrupt the whole thing. So I think that's what's happened.
Folks, speaking of going into all the world, that has been the pub crawl. We talked about Pokemon Go, millennials, and a new game we called Which Religion Says That? Islam, Christianity, or Satanism? One of the most interesting pub crawls we've had in quite a while. I want to thank Mr.
I've always enjoyed our times together.
Howard Glassman.
Thanks for having me.
Being here in the studio. We have a little bit more to come with Madeline and Howard and a couple of new guests.
I can go now.
No, you can't.
That's exactly how this grace thing works. It's not the long walk home that will change this heart, but the welcome I receive with the restart. Darkness is a harsh term, don't you think? And yet mine.